forward into the New Testament. We have this marvellous passage. In the old version, it was render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, wasn't it? Render unto Caesar and render unto God what is God's. Remember what's happened just before this episode occurs. Jesus has told parables in which he makes it blatantly clear that he thinks the Jews are pretty shoddy lot, the Jewish leaders. Because, you know, he tells the parables of the vineyard and the bad tenants and how they killed the messengers. And it's quite clear he's pointing at them. That's what we've had over the last 3 weeks, these parables which have been pointing at the Jewish leaders. And we know that they went away and they plotted to kill him. It says they went away, they plotted to kill him. And that leads to this episode today when they come to Jesus and they try to trap him. And Matthew starts off, the Pharisees went and plotted and they tried to trap him. And when they come to him, it's quite interesting because the Pharisees and the Herodians join together. The Pharisees and the Herodians didn't like each other. But as is often the case, a common enemy makes strange bedfellows, doesn't it? And they come together. The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, the Herodians who were basically bought in with the Romans. They come together and they say, and it's lovely the words they use, teacher, see, like a rabbi, teacher, we know that you are sincere and you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. As if, you know, they cared what he thought, which they absolutely don't. They use soft words to trap him. And the question they ask him, very straightforward question, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, to Caesar, or not? And it's one of those yes or no questions. And you know, if you answer with a yes or a no, you're in a really difficult situation. Sometimes the media will. I have this experience occasionally where people will come to me from a newspaper or something, and they'll say, they might ask a question like, "Do you believe in green energy, even if it costs more money for the energy to be produced?" And you think, if I say yes, then it'll be reported as Charles Royden thinks we should pay more for energy for green, so it can be green. And if you say no, it'll be Charles Royden comes out and condemns green energy. So you know that you know that you cannot say yes on. It's like have you stopped beating your wife? You know, you can't answer yes or no. And Jesus knows that he can't answer yes or no. It's a closed question, which doesn't want a truthful answer. It wants to trap you. And Jesus is in this situation where he faces a trap. And very cleverly, Jesus says, I'm not going to be held over a barrel. I'm going to answer in the way that I want to answer. And he says, give me a coin. And they produce a coin. Now, the coin would have had on it the image of Caesar. And it would also have had on it Son of God. So on this coin, you've got a breaking of the first two commandments, just on this denarius, just on this denarius. It's a graven image, and it's talking about worshipping Caesar, a son of God. And of course, this is why they didn't want those coins to be used in the temple. That's why they had the changing of the money into the pious money in the temple, because they didn't want these coins being used in the temple. So Jesus asked for the coins. They produce them. It has the image of Caesar on it, and Jesus uses the immortal words, which we all know, render to Caesar that which is Caesar, but render to God, which is God. It's a complex answer, because so much of the time, questions are complex. And you can't answer yes and you can't answer no. It's not black and white. It's sort of a mucky shade of grey. I mean, should we pay taxes? Should you and I just pay taxes to the government for the government to spend however they want? Because clearly, some of the money is not going to be spent in the way that you and I would necessarily agree with. And you can imagine people at the time, they were furious about paying the taxes because the taxes paid for the subjugation of the people. They paid for the Roman army to come in and oppress people. So you were paying for your own captivity in your own land. It's a strange situation. See, if Jesus answers, no, don't pay taxes, then he automatically puts himself up against Rome. And Judas the Galilean had done this some years earlier and ended up being crucified for it because he's starting off a revolt. A lot of the zealots didn't want to pay taxes. So Jesus puts himself up against Rome. He'll be arrested and killed. So if Jesus says, don't pay taxes, he's in a mess. If he says, do pay taxes, then it seems like he's almost a collaborator, not the great prophet that they wanted. But it's very, very hard to think about these taxes. And you can imagine Jesus saying, you know, you pay your taxes, but you do get something for your taxes as well as your oppression. I mean, what have the Romans done for us? Life of Brian, isn't it really? Well, aqueducts, roads. It pays for all that kind of stuff. And I suppose our taxes, you know, some of it goes to things that we wouldn't want. But some of it goes, obviously, to keeping society together. But what Jesus does do, it says, okay, that coin has got Caesar's head on it. So give to Caesar what is Caesar's, with all of its ambiguity and compromise and contradiction. But give to God what is God's. And that's where the real problem lies. Because when you look at creation, when you look at humanity, you realize that everything is created in God's image. Caesar can have his coins, but God demands so much more. It's Tertullian, a theologian in the 4th century, who said that human beings are like coins minted in God's image. Human beings are like coins minted in God's image. When we look into another human being, we see God. It was Victor Hugo in his, in I've got to say it in the French way, haven't I? Why is it when we say French words, we have to sound French? But when the French say English words, they don't try and sound English, do they? They still say it with the French. Yeah, what is mismatch there, isn't it, really? But I've got, so I shouldn't say Les Miserables. in Les Miserables, Victor Hugo said, to love another person is to see the face of God. To love another person is to see the face of God. Because God's imprint is upon all humankind. And of course, shortly on from this lesson, we'll hear the wonderful words which Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And why do you love your neighbor as yourself? You love your neighbor as yourself because God created your neighbor too. And they too are made in the image of God, in his likeness, the image of God. And the word which Matthew uses for image is icon, which is the same word which is used in Genesis when God says, let us make humans in our image. God creating each one of us, his children. So everything that God creates belongs to God, you and I, and all creation. Amen.